Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we bow down before you, Lord. We pray for separation from the noise of the world. And it's been mentioned already that we love the joy of hearing you and hearing your word and songs, praises to you. So lead us this morning as we open your word once again and then guide us in this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we're working our way back through the Psalms, picking it up last week in 35, and of course what comes up to 35 is 36, and so today, this is a you may know it, you may not, this is a nice little song. It actually starts out with wisdom and discussion of the wicked, and it's pretty grim. And then it switches to praise in verses 5 through 9, which are always awesome. And then it ends in prayer in 10 to 12. So for a prayer meeting, it's good to have a psalm that has a prayer section in it, right? But we're here because of the number, really, more than what we've picked. But I wanted to begin with an old hymn. In verse 5, it says, "Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds." And so, in these times, approaching the end times, sometimes we kind of question what's going on and why is it going on. And I think we need to be reminded God is always faithful. So let's sing this old hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." He is faithful, is he not? Psalm 36, 12 verses, I'll read it through, and you can listen to the pure word and then a few comments on it. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes." For he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, the words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. And then we get into a praise section here. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. And then the prayer in the closing three verses. Oh, continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen, they have been cast down and are not able to rise. So the Word of God is always so powerful as we look at this and look into these words, which we understand pretty much all the words. They're not difficult to understand, but we put them together and they're quite something, isn't it? An oracle, what does that mean? That really means a prophecy. A prophecy within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. That is universal in the wicked. How much fear is in my eyes of the Lord? There is no fear of God before his eyes. Paul picks that up in Romans 3 when he lists all these characteristics of the godless. No fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. So even when he's doing absolutely the wrong thing, he looks at it as a good thing. He flatters himself. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. Wow. And I look at that, how much of that is them and how much of it is me? You know, this is all them, but how much am I in some of these things? He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. You ever wake up and you get kind of a thought that you really shouldn't go there, but you find yourselves going there and toying with it and letting it grow and letting it become what it shouldn't become, more of something that, yeah, I think that's a good thing to do when I get up or whatever. But he devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. What is the way you're setting yourself in each day, each morning when you wake up? What way are you setting yourself in for that day? He does not abhor evil. Well, if there's a verse the church has missed in that, it seems to me, and certainly in our recent decades, think of the evil that's flourishing in this land, and I haven't heard much about it in the church at all. How much cry did you hear when we passed gay marriage? A little whimper here and there, or anything else. I mean, not just picking on one thing, but the evil. Do you abhor evil? Oh, we're not supposed to hate anything. No, we're supposed to love. You're not supposed to love evil. You're supposed to hate it. But the wicked, they don't abhor it, do they? They promote it. They promote it. How do you feel about transgenderism right now? Is there anything more wicked? I can't even find that in a story about Sodom and Gomorrah. I think it's worse than they were. We've got these teachers, we've got these legislators who are pumping out, as we speak, more and more legislation for transgenderism. Twisted, perverse. But now we turn to praise. Amen. And you think through where the wicked are, ponder on that a bit, and then you look up. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. How high is that? We don't know. It's above our ability to conceive. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. You know, we've had some beautiful scenes some of these weekends have noticed that particularly when you see the mountains just right here that you can see as you look north. Like even again last Sunday, there was a fresh outpouring of snow on them, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And as you get a little bit closer to them, man, they're huge, aren't they? So you think about that. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. That's quite a bit of righteousness, isn't it? Your judgments are a great deep. So not only up, but down as well. Your judgments are a great deep. And then, O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Amazing. Animals get in here quite a bit, don't they, in the Word? But we are the only one created in the image of God. So don't be worshiping your cat or dog or parrot or anything else, because not in the image of God. No afterlife for them. No soul for them. But we are created in His image. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. And I ask myself that question, how precious is His loving kindness to me? Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Where are you putting your trust? The children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied. And that word in the Hebrew basically means well watered, which in that culture, in that climate and so forth, water was so important. So this is a well watered satisfaction. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of not their house, your house, your house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. Do you think of the pleasures that God gives you are like a river? I mean, not just a couple of buckets, not just a tank full. This is a river. He wants us to have pleasures, but not the pleasures that come from twisting what He has given us. Just take the sanctity of life and the creation process. What a beautiful, pleasureful thing that is in its right context, but how it's been twisted around so badly, and now it is not a pleasure of goodness, it's a pleasure of evil that people are seeking in that area, you know, pornography and all that other stuff. But He has rivers of pleasures for His children. And for you is the fountain of life. I don't know, many of you remember Ponce de Leon and his search for the fountain of youth. Well, the fountain of youth is right here. It's not in Florida or wherever he's down there looking for it, but he never found it. But you, that living hope we have, right? Eternally with Him forever, ever, 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 and ever more. For with you is the fountain of life, and then in your light we see light. How well do you see His light? How well do you see His light of the Word? How much time are you in His Word to see the light of His Word? But in your light we see light. And then the closing prayer, oh, continue your loving kindness. There's that word again. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. And then verse 11, let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. You know, we really need to test things as they come into our mind. Are those things, because they feel from the wicked one, they feel just as good as they do from the Lord, I believe. But are those thoughts bringing you closer to the Lord or away from the Lord? And if they're not bringing you closer to the Lord, get rid of them because they're from the other side. But let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. You know, what's ahead is so bad for the unbeliever. We can't even understand it. It's so bad. Can't appreciate the total depth of it. But they will be cast down and they will not be able to rise. Every single one will bow their knee to Jesus Christ. We can either bow today to salvation or we can bow it then to eternal judgment. But everybody will bow their knee. So those around, I don't believe in God and there's no heaven and all this. And I mean, they don't say that. They say everything is heaven, I guess. There's no hell, right? There's no judgment. They have no fear of God. They can do whatever we want. We'll never be held accountable. Wrong. Wrong. Father, we thank you for your Psalms. We thank you for every part of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the clear picture here in this little psalm of the wicked, their lack of fearing you, and of your great mercy and loving kindness and goodness and rivers of pleasure and just unending your awesomeness. And so now help us to use these moments to pray. There's so much to pray for, Lord, always is. But guide us by your Spirit that we would pray in one accord. In Jesus' name, let's pray.